So Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, don't be scared. I just want to cut through the field a little bit. We're not going to preach all of that, but there's some scriptures that I want to highlight for our consideration today as, again, we continue to strengthen our faith with the Lord. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse 18 through 25, and I'll let you know where we go from there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, and it reads, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to make Mary as your wife, or to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Cross over to chapter 2, verse 13 through 15. And it says, "When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and he left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Go over to verse 19 through 23, and it says, "After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who are trying to take the child's life is dead.' So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea, in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene." The word of the Lord. Amen. I know that was a lengthy passage of scripture, but I want to highlight a portion of scripture there where constantly we saw that the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. And I want to give you all this declaration for the week that simply says this: I'm living the dream. Can y'all repeat that after me? Say, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. Can we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the message that comes to us through this word, through the Bible. And I ask your blessings upon it, God, just as you have revealed and taught it to me. I pray that you help me teach it to your people with clarity and with confidence. Send a word, God, that will instruct us. Send a word that will inform us. Send a word that will inspire us to continue living out your will. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's name I pray. May we all say amen. Amen. I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. So one of the things that I've learned over the last 35 years of my own life is that things don't always go as planned. Anybody learned that lesson before? Things do not always go as planned. As a matter of fact, we may expect people to act one way, and they act the total opposite. We anticipate things to go a certain way, and it doesn't meet our expectation or our anticipation. Things do not always go as planned. I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, we get into some relationships thinking that he or she is the one, but they are far from the one, that they were not the person. They don't love you like you wanted to be loved. They don't treat you like the way you deserve to be treated. And so we end up leaving that relationship. Some of us may have started businesses or went about certain career ventures and started certain professions, and it didn't go the way we thought. We thought we would get the promotion. We thought we'll have a lot of money, but we are dead broke. Things don't always go as we plan them. We raise children to be certain things and to act in a certain way, and they don't act like we thought they would act. They cut up and do things that we told them not to do instead. And things don't go exactly the way that we planned them. And one of the things I realized in life, and my observation of my own life, and even people that I'm closely or connected with, and even those I just see from afar, is that when things don't go as planned, it is so easy to throw in the towel. It's real easy to quit. It's real easy to just walk away and say, you know, I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to work in it. How many of y'all changed your major when you were in college? If you were in college, yeah, a lot of us changed that major real fast. We go from major to major, from job to job, from boyfriend to boyfriend, girlfriend to girlfriend. It's easy to switch up real fast, jump ship, disconnect, and divorce whoever it may be when things don't go as we plan. But can I give you all this thought and this truth that was revealed to me in this scripture? And that is this: just because things don't go the way we expected doesn't mean, or the way that we planned, doesn't mean God hadn't planned it. Let me say it again. Just because it doesn't go the way we planned it doesn't mean it's not a part of God's plan. Even though things may have come short of our hopes and short of our dreams and short of our desires, doesn't mean it does not match what God had planned all along. And that's what we find in this particular story. Joseph had engaged Mary. Y'all know the story, right? Joseph proposed, and Joseph had took Mary to be his fiance and soon to be wife, and they were going to head toward marital bliss. But along the way, we learn that Mary turns up pregnant. This is before they get married. This is before they engage in relations, if you will. And Joseph is kind of taken aback. Joseph is confused. Joseph, I'm quite sure, was frustrated because he didn't plan for this to happen. Matter of fact, he wasn't even a part of this happening. Mary shows up pregnant, and he's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? They planned a reception. They got their dress, they got their tuxedo, they did everything necessary to bring about this wedding that was soon to happen, but she's now pregnant. It didn't go according to his plan. It didn't go according to Joseph's expectations. Matter of fact, it didn't even go according to Mary's expectation as well. But in the middle of that, God reminds them that, no, this may not be a part of your plan, but it is a part of my plan. This may be not what you expected, but it's all a part of my expectation and my purpose for your life. And that's what we find in this text, that even though that it didn't go a part of his plan, guess what happens? Joseph follows God's plan anyways. And how does he do so? In the middle of him deciding to divorce Mary, he says, look, I'm done with this. You can go on about your business. I'm not going to continue with this relationship because I don't know who that baby is you got in your stomach, but it sure ain't mine, and I'm going to move on with life. I'm done. I'll find somebody else. You can find somebody else, or you can stick with the guy, whoever you had that child with. You can stick with him, but I'm not going to be a part of this. But before he can go through with his decision, the Bible tells us that he has a dream. And I believe what changed the course of his action, what redirected what he was going to do in life, was a dream. And what is a dream? Dream is simply this. It is God's divine direction for our life. It is God's instruction. It is God's revealed plan. If you go throughout scripture, there are several people who had dreams, and in the dream was simply a message from God and what they needed to do. But this is the thing about dreams that we all can agree with, is that dreams typically are out of this world. They are against the norms. They go against what people may do, or what you even may do. It goes against the grain of society. Dreams often are unpopular and dreams are often uncomfortable. And I believe that's the same way God works. Whenever he gives us a directive, whenever he gives us an instruction, whenever he leads us in a certain way, it's not always going to be possible. Y'all with me today? It's not going to be popular. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be what you want to do. You want to leave, but God wants you to stay. You want to throw in the towel, but God wants you to hang in there. You may want to quit, but God says, I need you to keep going. And so in the story, we're reminded that in this dream that's revealed to Joseph, that he says, look, I'm going to do something different. God says, I have a different plan. I know that you don't want to go through with this, but let me tell you something. Let me let you in on a secret. The child that she has is mine. The Holy Spirit impregnated her, and he is the Savior. He's going to save the world from their sins. And the Bible goes on to tell us when he comes into this world, he will be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Let me back you up and catch you for some application here. So in other words, when we live the dream, when we come in submission to God's plan for our life, we will experience God's presence. Back it up one more time. When we live the dream, we will experience God's presence. So Joseph goes to sleep. An angel comes into his dream and reveals God's plan for his life. And when he wakes up, he lives the dream. He says, I'm going to do what God called me to do. I don't care what society says. I don't care what people may think. I don't care how hard it may be. I'm going to live the dream. And as a result of him living the dream, he experiences God's presence. In other words, Jesus comes into the world and he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. God's presence is always on the other side of our patience. God's presence is always on the other side of us persevering. His power is made available as we endure the pain. His peace is injected into the fabric of our frustration when we remain faithful. Look, God told Joseph, don't go anywhere. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't leave her alone. He says, I need you to stay right where you are. And because he stays where he is, we are able to experience the presence of God. I don't know who this message is for today. You may be on the verge of walking away. You may be on the verge of giving up on yourself, giving up on your spouse, giving up on your children. You may be on the verge of switching your career. You may be on the verge of trying something different because things didn't go your way. Things didn't go as planned. But can I tell you all to hang on in there, to stay where you are, to give it another chance, to believe once again, to hope again? Because as you remain where you are, when you're faithful, when you're committed, when you're dedicated, when you remain steadfast and unmovable, God shows up. God is present. God comes into our midst when we stay where we are. Many times we miss the presence of God because we leave too soon. Y'all with me? Y'all can say amen if you want. Many times we miss the blessing of God because we are not patient enough. Many times we miss the opportunity because we want to leave too soon. But can I tell you, remain faithful. Stay right there, rooted and grounded in wherever you are, because I believe on the other side is God's presence. Can I give y'all a little Bible real quick? Can I teach some Bible? I like teaching the Bible real quick just to prove my point. If we go backwards into the Old Testament, there were three young men by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stayed committed to God's word and God's will. And even though everybody else was doing one thing, they decided to do another. And they were thrown into what they call the fiery furnace. They were in a place where they could have died, but they stayed rooted and grounded in their faith, believing in God. And what happened when they stayed there? God's presence showed up and they were freed from what could have burnt them and what could have killed them because of God's presence. But imagine if they didn't go through with it. God would have never showed up in their life. Same thing happened to their friend Daniel. He was committed. He stayed rooted. He stayed dedicated. He didn't walk out. He didn't throw in the towel. And although he was in the lion's den, he kept praying to God. He kept trusting God. And guess what? God shows up, closes the mouths of the lions, and set them free. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when we live the dream, when we stay committed to what God's plan is for our life, we experience God's presence. Can I tell you this thing about my own life personally? I got a 5-year-old son, and he's a worker. He loves working. He loves doing different things. I don't have to ask him a lot of times. He'll just go get the broom and start sweeping. He'll get the vacuum, plug it up, and do his thing. He'll make up his bed. He'll clean up his room. He'll do a lot of things on his own. He'll even try to cook by himself and make a whole mess. And oftentimes, I have to tell him, look, don't do anything until I show up. Don't do anything until I present myself and give you an instruction, because if you're not careful, you're going to mess something up. So I say, look, I need to show up. You wait for me, because my presence to him is everything. He's only about this tall, or he's a little taller than that, 5 years old. He's up to my waist maybe. And there are some things that he can't reach that I can. There are some things that he can't lift that I can. There are some things that he cannot see that I can. There are some things that he can't touch that I can. And until I show up, he is limited in what he can do. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, just to hang on in there and wait for God to show up, because there's some things you can't see right now. There's some things you don't understand. There's some things that are not clear. There's some things you can't lift on your own. There are some things you can't pursue on your own. You and I need the presence of God in our life. And when God shows up, his joy shows up. When God shows up, his peace shows up. When God shows up, his love shows up. When God shows up, his guidance and his wisdom shows up. When God shows up, his forgiveness shows up. When God shows up, his peace shows up. We experience the presence of God when we live the dream. So don't give up. Don't give in. Don't throw in the towel, because when you hang in there, God's going to show up, and his presence is going to fill the room. So, Joseph lives the dream, and he experiences the presence of God. Not only that, but because Joseph he experienced the presence of God, but he also experienced freedom and deliverance. Scripture goes on in chapter 2 and talks about how after Mary gave birth, King Herod, being that he was a jealous man, Jesus was prophesied to be the next king. And so he was trying to protect his throne. And so he went through to kill all the baby boys that were born. Well, in a dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph again. And he tells him, King Herod is about to kill all the baby boys. I need you to go to Egypt. The Bible says that as they went to Egypt, the scripture was fulfilled. I have called my son out of Egypt. What does this teach us? When we live the dream, we experience freedom and deliverance. When we live the dream, God protects us from stuff that was set out to kill us. When we live the dream, we avoid danger that is lurking to take us out. Sometimes it may not even be physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually. The enemy is always trying to kill us and kill the dream inside of us, kill the purpose inside of us, kill the plan of God within inside of us. But God told me to tell you today, if you live the dream, I'll deliver you from what's attacking you. If you live the dream, I'll deliver you from what's chasing after you. If you live the dream, I'll remove you from what's bad for you and even your family. Some of us are experiencing some abuse and some pain and some difficulty right now because we won't leave when God told us to leave. We won't remove ourselves when God told us to remove ourselves. God says, look, I need you to live the dream. I need you to live according to my plan. Because when you live according to my plan, I provide a way of escape from that temptation, from that trial, from that test. When you live according to dream, you experience freedom. Listen to this story here. There was an Argentinian race driver who was in the race, and he looked up one day at the crowd while in the middle of the race, and he noticed that the crowd was looking away from him. Typically, he doesn't even know what they're doing, but he took notice and observation that they were not looking at him. And so after this observation, he said to himself, if they're not looking at me, what are they looking at? So as he approached this dangerous curve, he decided within to take it easy, take his foot off the gas and press the brake a little bit. And lo and behold, when he came around the corner, there was a massive pileup of cars. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, today that God is watching over us and he knows what's ahead of us. And if we are looking up to him, he can warn us of things that are ahead and we can avoid things that can possibly take us out, that can possibly tear us up, that can possibly break us down. God is watching over us, and I want to issue a warning today. The dream might be for your life that you need to move. The dream might be for your life is that you need to get out. The dream might be for your life is that you need to apply the brakes. The dream might be for your life is that you need to stop in your tracks so that you won't experience what's ahead. Y'all with me today? So live the dream, and you will experience God's presence. Live the dream, and you will experience freedom and deliverance. But can I talk to y'all a little bit real quick? This didn't only save Joseph, Mary, and Jesus from dying, but it ultimately saved us from dying. When we live the dream, not only does it benefit us, but it benefits everybody that's connected to us, both now and in the future. Us living the dream could possibly save somebody else's life. I said in the earlier service, and I'll say it again, if Joseph didn't follow the dream, Jesus dies. If Jesus dies, there is no healing of the sick. There is no opening blinded eyes. There is no leprosy that is cured. There is no Lazarus that is raised from the grave. There is no cross on Calvary. There's no resurrection from the grave. And there's no Holy Spirit imparted to everybody who will believe. If Jesus or if Joseph does not follow the dream, the 5,000 are still hungry, y'all. If Joseph doesn't follow the dream, guess what? You and I are not saved. You and I don't have hope for tomorrow and joy in our sorrow. If Joseph doesn't follow the dream, our own dreams remain in the grave. So the same thing to you all. If you don't do what God has called you to do, if you don't say what God has called you to say, if you don't live the way God has called you to live, guess what? Somebody else's life is on the line. Children's life is on the line. Your husband's life is on the line. Your wife's life's on the line. This church life is on the line. If you don't submit to what God's will is for your life, follow the dream and you experience freedom and deliverance. Freedom in your own life and deliverance for somebody else's life. But I got one more thing to tell you. Can I tell y'all one more thing? And I'm going to go on back to Norfolk and get me a chicken cheese sub. That's what I want in my... I need a... good sub, chicken, and a smoothie. You receive that. You like that dream. Amen. So he experiences the presence of God because he lives a dream. He experiences freedom and deliverance because he lives a dream. But the last thing he experienced is discovery of his identity and purpose. Scripture goes on to tell us that angel of the Lord tells him to go into Israel in a dream. He reveals this direction or this instruction from God. Go on back to Israel. Because King Herod is dead. You're safe now. After Joseph gets to Israel, he has another dream, you all. And the angel says, you know what? His father, I got it wrong the last service. I said his brother, so y'all forgive me. The last I said his brother, his father, the king's father, his son, King Herod's son, that is reigning now. And like any son, he will continue in the same way that his father did. In other words, he may kill baby Jesus like his father tried to. So the angel tells him, go to Nazareth. So Joseph lives the dream again. He wakes up and obeys the directive, the divine plan of God in his life. And as a result, the Bible says, he shall be called. The prophecy is fulfilled that he shall be called a Nazarene. I know this don't mean none of y'all. I'll be like, what does that mean? He should be called a Nazarene. I don't know any Nazarenes in here. I mean, they know Nazareth in the 757, right? So let me help you understand this real quick. So there are many interpretations of this passage, one of which I want to give you today. Nazareth literally means to be set apart. It means to be separated to do God's work in this world for his glory, to make a difference in society. Matter of fact, you may remember it this way. Samson, he had a Nazarite vow. Those who had the Nazarite vow were separated or set apart for a special use to do something for God, to bring about victory in the lives of God's people. And the same thing happens here in this text. When the Bible says that Jesus shall be called a Nazarene, it communicates in one sense that he is set apart for a special use. So in other words, when we follow the dream or when we live the dream, we're able to identify and discover God's purpose and plan for our life. We know who we are. We are set apart for God. We have been separated for God. We have a special assignment that is designed to give God glory, honor, and praise. You belong to God. And guess what? You can't discover who you are if you're disobedient to his plan. If Joseph did not follow the dream, he wouldn't been able to discover who Jesus is and even who he is. I believe in that moment, he realized, it was confirmed that this is what God called me to do. This is who I am. I am on assignment. I have a task. I have a plan in this life. But can I tell you all, my brothers and sisters, that it only comes by following the dream. I know you may be seeking what you should do. You're trying to figure out who you are. You're trying to discover what God wants you to do. And it's all when you submit to the plan. I have had moments in my life where I kicked or resisted against the plan, and I'm still confused or have been confused with where I needed to be. And I came to discover that if I went along with it, God answers. When I go along with it, God reveals. When I go along with it, God provides clarity. Live the dream, and you'll discover who you are. Leave the dream, and you'll realize that I belong to him. Live the dream, and the answers will be provided. Live the dream, and the family will be protected. Live the dream, and the doors will be open. Live the dream, people will be healed. Live the dream, and sickness will be removed. Live the dream, and spiritual bondage will be released. Live the dream, families will be united. Live the dream. Job will go well for you. Live the dream, and you'll accomplish things that you never imagined. Live the dream, and the resurrection takes place. I'll just throw this in there while I'm thinking about it. Live the dream. Bridges will be made between humanity and God, between brothers and sisters, mother and father. Live the dream, you all. And you experience God's presence. When you live the dream, when you follow his plan, you experience freedom and deliverance. And when you live the dream, you'll become clear about who you are in God. You are set apart. You're special. You've been devoted and dedicated for God's special use to bring him glory and honor and make a difference in this world. That's all I wanted to tell you today. Live the dream. I know things ain't going the way you thought it would go. You don't have all the money. You don't have the house with the picket fence. The dog may not have the child. You may not have the marriage. Things may not be going like you thought it would at this time in your life. But you keep following God. And he'll show up. He'll provide, he'll protect, but ultimately, he'll push you into that place of purpose that will change your life and the lives of those around you. So again, I say, live the dream. Everyone standing with me, the word of the Lord. I pray this spoke to you in a special way, touched your heart, helped you understand God a little more, gave you an answer maybe. And I don't know who this is for, but I want to speak to somebody today who may not have a relationship with God. God has a plan for your life. But the only way you can clearly see it, come into contact with it, if you give your life to the Lord, if you surrender, put your faith in Jesus Christ.